Each month we speak with Dr. Rebecca Ananian Welsh, lecturer in public law at UQ's T.C. Byrne School of Law and co-author of The Tim Carmody Affair, Australia's Greatest Judicial Crisis. It happens that in Australian law, our privacy turns on whether information is classified as personal information or not, which I thought would be an easy catch until Rebecca explained that legal definitions of private and personal information are far from settled. Today we'll use four cases to dissect the notion of privacy in Australia, our privacy protections or lack thereof, and our current privacy laws. Here's Rebecca explaining the cases.
Australia's had privacy laws for 30 years, which isn't that long, but it is a long time for them not to be really considered at all. And in recent cases, the courts and the media too have been wondering what is covered by privacy laws. And that all comes down to what's personal information. The key case about this is about Ben Grubb, a journalist, who asked Telstra for all of his metadata. That is a very opaque term, but it generally means from Telstra the information about when he made phone calls, who he was calling, who he was texting. Telstra said, no, we're not going to give it to you. It's not personal information. And the federal court, after a long battle, agreed with Telstra. They said the information about his phone call isn't his information. It's about Telstra, and so it's not covered by privacy laws. On the other hand, we have another journalist, Josh Taylor, who asked for Federal Attorney General George Brandis's metadata. Brandis refused to give it, saying that it was private information. After the Grubb case, it would seem like Brandis doesn't have a leg to stand on there, but Josh Taylor's attempt to get Brandis's metadata never ended up in court. And there's a chance that Brandis would be able to rely on other kinds of freedom of information exceptions to not release all his metadata. So we have those kinds of cases saying that information that you can find out a lot about someone from isn't personal information. It's not information about you. On the other hand, we've had a really recent case about a woman, Miss Juracek, who worked for Transport Safety Victoria. And she was posting criticisms of her employer on Facebook. Transport Safety Victoria accessed her Facebook account and used those posts and messages against her in a misconduct investigation. Ms. Juracek said, that's my personal information. You can't use that without telling me and without my consent. Now that also went to court, and the court this time said, yes, it's personal information. Unlike metadata, it is covered by privacy laws, but it was reasonable for Transport Safety Victoria to access it and use it against you. They really couldn't have gotten that information some other way. It was important. It did reveal misconduct. Finally, we have another example of what is, again, clearly personal information. A blogger named Andy Fox, her Centrelink welfare information was released by Alan Tudge. Andy Fox had been engaging in that age-old Australian pastime of complaining about Centrelink on her blog, and the minister had then, in what seemed to be a response to that, released her personal Centrelink information. Now, that would seem to be personal information, but following the Grubb case, the court might say it wasn't personal information. Maybe it was information about Centrelink. That would seem to be counterintuitive, but if they can say information about your phone use isn't personal, then maybe they can say information about your welfare isn't personal. Or they may say it was a reasonable use of the information, like the court found with Ms. Juracek.
He's looking at you, kid.
You're listening to 4ZZZ's Brisbane Line. Why is it so difficult to define personal information under Australian privacy laws?
Law is full of these vague terms, and personal information is just one. That phrase has been written into privacy laws for 30 years, and it's the linchpin of privacy laws. The only information that is protected under our privacy laws is personal information. But what on earth does that mean? We have now one case, that Grubb case, saying that metadata isn't personal information. What we need, I think, is more cases, figuring out how to draw that line around what's personal and what's not. But also, if it's coming to light that people expect something to be personal information, say the content of your emails or who you make phone calls to, and it's not, then maybe we need to change the act.
Should private information under the law only be restricted to personal information?
again, a really good question. I think personal information is a useful phrase. I can see how they got there. I think the answer to that question might be yes, if personal information is quite a broadly defined concept, and that's not the way that it's panning out in the cases.
I'd just like to go back to the Grubb and Taylor cases. What are the legal implications for our privacy?
The Grubb and Taylor cases both hinge on this word metadata that has been bandied around a lot in the last 5 to 10 years. I think very few people actually understand what metadata is, and that was one of the reasons why Josh Taylor wanted to get Brandis's metadata, to just see what Brandis thought metadata was. We kind of know that it's that information about your communication without being the content of the communication. But what Grubb certainly says is that even if a lot of information about you could be pieced together from these bits of information, that isn't necessarily going to qualify as personal information under the Act, and therefore it could be completely unprotected by privacy laws as they are. It's hard to get things into that classification of personal information. That's what we know from Grubb. And even if you do, the public or your employer even might still be able to access them. But employers do need to be careful when they're using personal information. So, for example, there are a lot of obligations to tell someone if you're accessing their personal information or if you're going to use it in a certain way. So it's not a blank check, the Juroshek case, but people should also be aware that in certain circumstances, their private information can be accessed and it can be used against you.
He's looking at you, kid.
You're listening to 4ZZZ's Brisbane Line. I'd like to look at the Tudge case. How far-reaching could this be, for example, that someone's able to take someone else's information and give it to a third party?
I think it's a strong message and one that people need to hear. Now, we accept that the government has all of our information, Centrelink, tax, Medicare, that whole MyGov system where they seem to collate everything. And to a degree, we kind of accept that, just like how we accept that Google or Facebook or even apps on our phone have a lot of information about us that we just kind of consent to. What's the scenario with Tudge releasing Andy Fox welfare information to the public tells us or reminds us is that when people have our information, they can share it. And there might not be moral or even legal limits on them sharing it. Now, what Alan Tudge did was release it to the media, which was very distressing and horrible, of course, for Andy Fox. But what happens on a far more regular daily kind of basis is that private companies have our personal information, Facebook, Google, flybys, and they can sell that information. These laws are important and do need to serve a very strong role to limit other major interests. But also, I guess, there's that role for us, being aware of that broader debate. People can, I think, tend to think information privacy, it's only really going to be a problem for people who are engaging in criminal behaviour and stuff, without realising that our information could be used in all sorts of different ways for decades to come. If you want your metadata kept private, then these cases are a warning. But if you want to see George Brandis's metadata and know who he's been calling and when, then this is great news. He may have to release it, so it could be good for kind of open government. If everyone becomes a bit more concerned about their privacy, I think that that will have an impact on the strength of privacy laws. If no one really cares that much about privacy, then we're going to have weaker privacy laws.
That was Dr. Rebecca Ananian-Welsh ending that report on privacy laws. For more information about Rebecca's research and publications, search for her on UQ's website, uq.edu.au. Background research for this piece came from the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner, the Australian Privacy Foundation, the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, Fairfax and Crikey, and the legal firms King and Wood Mallesons and Cause. All those websites are available via 4ZZFM.org.au/news. Music at the top of the interview was Somebody's Watching Me by The Boys Next Door.
Somebody's watching me.
And next is Spy by They Might Be Giants. You're listening to 4ZZZ Brisbane.
Is looking at you, kid.